Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, Heavenly Father, say that with all your heart tonight. Yes, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, take this whole world. Just give me Jesus. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. give me, Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. I won't turn back. Just give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Turn back, I won't turn back. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. It satisfies, it satisfies. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Oh, I am milk and honey. Oh, I am feasting on milk and honey. Oh, I am feasting on milk and honey. It satisfies, it satisfies. Just take this whole world, but give me.
Why don't you take somebody by the hand and greet him tonight? Feel tonight? Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be in church again this evening. And got a few announcements that I want to make. First of all, if you paid tithes in 2018 and you want a tithe receipt for that and you've never requested one before, if you can ask the trustees or myself, we'll get you one of those. If you have requested one in a previous year, then you'll just automatically be on the list to get one. Also, we'll be having a youth Bible study, Lord willing, Thursday, January 31st. And then, Lord willing, we'll be having Memorial Day meetings here. Brother Timothy Pruitt, that's Brother Tim's son, and Brother Joe Adams and Brother Aaron Oglesby from Louisiana, they'll all be speaking with us that weekend or speaking for us. And then Labor Day weekend, we'll be having Brother Jack Duff and some of the believers from there will be with us. So be looking forward to those meetings. And wanted to share a few testimonies. The brothers from VGR that were in Nairobi, Kenya, during the bombings and things there at the hotel, they are okay and back home safe. So we're going to praise the Lord for that. And I also wanted to share a testimony. Nathaniel was trying to open up a little plastic package a few days ago, and got himself a pocket knife and a little Swiss Army knife and was going to try to open it. When he did, he sliced his finger real bad, and it was just spraying blood everywhere, and he took his other hand and was trying to keep from bleeding all over the floor. And Rebecca went in, she read Ezekiel 16:6 and prayed for him and put a Band-Aid on it. And that night when he took off the Band-Aid to show me the cut, there was no blood on the Band-Aid, and he couldn't tell where the cut had been. So we want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. God is good. Amen. Reminded me of a story Brother Bam tells about. He said there had been a service there in Jonesboro, and he'd gave out prayer cloths. And when he did, there was a sister went home, and she was trying to clean out the chimney of a little oil lamp. And when she did, the glass shattered and cut her arm and her hand real bad. And she went in and grabbed a pillowcase and wrapped it around it and bled through the pillowcase. And went in and grabbed a bed sheet and wrapped around that and bled through that. And didn't have any family there. And the neighbor was miles away, so she knew she was going to bleed to death if she kept doing that. And so she happened to think of that prayer cloth, and she ran in and got out of the Bible, Acts 19, and put it on her. And when she did, the bleeding stopped, and she brought it was a handkerchief, I think, that he had prayed over. And she put on her boots, and he was in Little Rock, Arkansas at the time preaching a service. She put on her boots and hiked through the fields at night and flagged down a Greyhound bus, hung her lantern on a tree where she could know how to get back home when she got back to that point. And went to the Jonesboro or to the Little Rock meetings and walked in and showed everybody the handkerchief, and there wasn't a drop of blood on the handkerchief. Amen. So God's still God. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. But so with all of that, we've got quite a few prayer requests that we want to bring before the Lord. But we know that the God that can do those things, he can hear and answer these prayer requests as well. Got many that are sick this time of year, and Brother Joshua Johnson not feeling well. Sister Sarah Gaddy, she's sick with a virus, and her son Jeremiah requested prayer for his follow-up at the doctor on February 11th, that they'll confirm his complete healing from the blood clots. So we want to remember him in prayer. Brother Furman requested prayer for Ethan having some behavioral issues, and Sister April having back pain. So we certainly want to remember that. And then Sister Darla Weber had requested prayer for her daughter-in-law, Sister Brittany Weber. She gave birth to a child today and is having unbearable pain and burning in her arms and carpal tunnel. And that's causing her to have an extremely hard time holding the baby. So we want to remember that situation. And Aunt Wanda, she's sick with a sore throat and a virus. So we want to remember her. And Mom had requested prayer for her brother-in-law, which is my Uncle Bob Berger. He needs hernia surgery, but his heart doctor can't clear him due to an irregular heartbeat, so they've scheduled him for a stress test and some other tests a week from today. Sister Patty Ard, she's not feeling well this evening. Brother Darrell requested prayer for Kaylee, and Sister Brenda Layton's cousin, Linda Parks, is in the hospital with a bleeding esophagus, and the doctors don't know why she's bleeding and running tests to confirm and try to figure out the cause of that. And Sister Sabra requested prayer for her daughter Christy, who is 17 weeks pregnant, and the doctor says there's a lot of defects in the baby, so we just want to remember that situation in prayer. And Brother Wade Byerly, he's in the hospital in Colorado overnight due to some sickness in his body, and he's away there on work, and so we want to remember him in prayer for a quick recovery. They expect to release him tomorrow, but just want to continue to remember him in prayer. Unspoken prayer request from Sister Stephanie Duvall. And Brother Japheth's dad's in the hospital due to a 40% heart blockage, and the doctors think they can treat it with medicine, are expecting to release him tomorrow as well. So just want to continue to remember him, that everything will be okay there. And then a co-worker of Brother Jeremy Bird by the name of James, who is diagnosed with chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Am I pronouncing that right, Brother Jeremy, or close? Yeah, thank you. Sorry, what, brother? Okay. He's got that type of leukemia, and it's progressed quite a bit since his original diagnosis. So we just want to lift him up in prayer that the Lord will move on the scene there, and just use Brother Jeremy to be an encouragement to him. And then Sister April Stutzman requested a prayer for a friend of her mother's named Dana Montgomery. She has cancer and has only been given 2 months to live, and she's also in need of salvation. So many serious requests tonight, but the Lord knows about each one. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
bless you, church. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house again tonight, gathered with fellow believers, and just thinking about that song, "Take this whole world, but give me Jesus." Lord, it seems like the longer that I live here in this world, the less pleasure, the less joy the world brings. But Lord, the longer that I live for you and walk with you, Lord, the more joy you bring. And I know we all feel that way, Lord. We're ready to go home, but while we're here, we have things to deal with, struggles and pains and cares of this life. Lord, I pray that you come now and honor the prayer requests, Lord, that have been read. I can't remember them all, but one that struck my heart was about that poor mother who has that desire to hold her child, her newborn child, and yet Satan's come and attacked with pain and problems. Lord, I pray that you go to that bedside tonight and heal her body. Lord, so many other serious requests. Brother Joel, Brother Japheth's father, Lord, they're serving you with the voice of God and spreading the message, and yet Satan's attacking his heart. Just go, Lord. Though it be a different time zone, though it be a different country, yet, Lord, you're always on the job, and we're so thankful for it. And, Lord, for this service tonight, I pray, Lord, that you come and speak to our hearts. Encourage us, Lord. Lord, if there be something that you would have for us to change or to learn or to do, Lord, just make it clear to our hearts. Anoint us, Lord, that we can receive of your word. And we'll worship you, Lord, and give you all praise and glory and honor. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Good to have Brother Will Andes visiting with us tonight. Him and Brother Zion Eamon have a special for us.
Amen. God bless you, saints. It's good to be with you all tonight. Amen. I was talking with Zion the other night, and he began to play at our house. And the Spirit of the Lord really fell when we were there, and I just felt the Lord near. And if you know this song, sing it with us. It's "These Are the Days of Elijah." And when it gets to "There's No God Like Jehovah," I've just really been doing a Bible study, as I know many of you all have, with Brother Trevor Eamon and different things in regards to the church age book. But it's just become more and more reality, as Brother Stephen was saying, that the things of this world are becoming so strangely dim. And only the God that's Jehovah can save the vilest of sinners and save us. And I just love the Lord with all of my heart tonight, and I just want to encourage you tonight to just keep pressing on, because truly there is no God like our Jehovah. So if you sing this with me, I know we can worship the Lord together, and it's not just us up here singing, but we can all be a blessing to the Lord in his ears tonight.
Declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your son Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, those dry bones
Isn't that wonderful? There's no God like Jehovah. It's a reality. Amen. Sure appreciate that, brothers. God bless you. If the brothers would please come at this time. Amen.
Oh, the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustle in the mulberry tree. And I know, I know, I know the move is on. Oh, won't you move on, brother? Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Oh, you can move a little closer. Oh, move on, brother, move on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. The move is on, my Lord, the move is on. And I can hear the rustle in the mulberry. And I know, I know, I know the move is on. Oh, won't you move on, brother? Move on, sister. This is the moving day. Oh, you can move a little closer where the streams are flowing. Move on, brother, move on. The move is on.
Nathan asked if we try this song before he came up, and so sure, I'm glad to have Sister Stephanie back with us. Brother Japheth helping out tonight. God bless you, brother. You help us if you know this. Think of these words.
And when I think of how he came so far from glory, he came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question, oh, who am I? If you'll be I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. He fights my battles till they're won. For who am I? Oh, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, just why he ever loved me so. Back to that old rugged cross he'd go. For who am I? Let's stand and sing that chorus all together. Oh,
aren't you thankful that he thought of you? Amen. Even though we didn't deserve it. Amen. God bless you. As I said before, certainly good to be in service again. I don't know about you. I miss being in church on Sunday. It just didn't feel right sitting at home on a Sunday morning. I know a lot of people do that all the time, but I couldn't handle it. I'd go stir crazy or something. And so we caught up on Brother Trevor's curriculum on the church age book and listened to part of a tape and had devotions together and things. So we kind of had church in the home, but it's just not the same as when you get all the licks of fire together, everybody coming together to worship the Lord. And man, can you imagine if it had just been Peter and his family on the day of Pentecost? Just wouldn't have been the same, would it have? But when there was 120 of them in there and my licks of fire began to come down upon them and filled their hearts with fire and they burst through those doors. They'd been hiding out 1 minute and then the next minute here they was going to testify of what God had did in them. I would have liked to have been there and seen that day, but how much more privileged are we to be in this day and see what God has done? Amen. You say, I don't agree with that, Brother Nathan. This day is terrible and it's dark and it's wicked, but oh my, to be able to be an overcomer in this age. You know, we think about Daniel and David, and we think about Moses and Jephthah and Gideon and different ones that we want to get over there and shake their hands. But I wonder how many of them will say, you came out of Laodicea, Brother Trevor, I want to shake your hand. You survived the darkest, most evil age, and yet you stayed true to all that there was. I want to shake your hand. Amen. I believe that's what it'll be like when we get over there. Amen. But if nobody wants to shake my hand, that's okay. Just as long as I can sit at his feet and look at him for a little while, say, Lord, thank you for all that you did for me. Amen. Well, I'm not preaching tonight. It may seem like it, but Brother Morrison had been visiting us a lot on Wednesday nights coming up before his service on Friday night and dropping it in and being in the service. And so I'd had it on my heart for a while to have him minister for us. So as I mentioned, I believe last Wednesday night, we just felt led that this was a evening that worked good for both of us. So I want to invite him to come. But as he does, let's just sing Amazing Grace together. Amen. Aren't you thankful for grace? Amen. Amazing grace. Amen. It was grace that put it on this brother's heart to invite a 17-year-old kid to preach for the first time in his church. And if he hadn't, we might not all be here tonight. Amen. So I believe God always works on both ends of the line, doesn't he? Amen. Oh, let's sing it together. Oh, it's amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh Lord, it saved an old wretch like me. You see, I was so lost. Oh, but now, thank God I'm found. Yes, I was blind, but now why don't we sing it this way with our hands lifted to Him tonight? Oh, praise God. He's worthy of it. Praise God.
You folks tonight. I've enjoyed all the services I got to be with you and visiting here, and I'm sure thankful for how God is moving for you. And I'm sure thankful for Brother Nathan, amen, and the work that God has anointed him to do for the Lord, amen. That God's doing a great thing. And I used to tell him when he was a little fellow listening to tapes, I'd say, just keep listening, and one day you preach and, you know, get mom and daddy in the message, you know. So, anyhow, I'm just happy that he's preaching the message and word of God for this day. I know when I first started out preaching myself, I thought like a lot of Brother Brown talked about, you know, when he thought he'd preached his greatest sermon there, and Dr. Davis kind of had to take him down a notch. But back then I thought, well, you know, if he was a preacher, he'd need a PA system. So I got me a little PVPA system, and I thought, well, you know, I'm looking more like a preacher. I've got my own PA system now. And then I finally realized, I thought, well, some preachers carry a briefcase, so I need to get me a briefcase. And I got me a briefcase, and then I had to get a microphone, you know, and some things like that, a guitar. I didn't even know, and still don't know much on a guitar. My mother at the time, the little church we had down in the country there, nobody would stick around to play music for us. So I decided I was going to learn to play myself. And so I got a book, and I started GCD all day long, all week long. My mom said, "You're driving me crazy." So after I learned G chord, somebody would come up to sing, and they'd say D, E, or F or something. I'd say, G. So they sang in their chord, and I played in mine. But after a while, I thought, well, boy, I was really a preacher. You know, I preached for 30, 40 minutes, and I was doing better. One day, I thought, I'd just go out to, a little funny here, just to go out to Echo Canyon and see how it was going. And so I went out to Echo Canyon, and I hollered, "Baloney!" And I listened. I didn't hear nothing. And I thought, well, I'll try something else. And I hollered, "I'm the greatest preacher in the world." And I listened and said, "Baloney." But there is one of the greatest preachers here tonight visiting from Togo, West Africa, Brother John Kouassi. I can't pronounce his last name because it's French. And I met this brother a few years ago, and he's a precious brother. I didn't know, sorry, but we didn't make the connection. But I want him to come up, if you would, and give us a few words. You pray for him. Come on up here, Brother John. I want you to say, to greet the people, all right? I didn't know his wife had came with him. He's been over here for a couple of months. He's got 3 or 4 more months to visit. But his wife is down in Carolinas, and I didn't know she was with him, or I would have had her to come too. But this brother here is, Togo is notorious. It says in the dictionary or the thing I was reading on not long ago, it's supposed to be the saddest country in the world. But when I went to his church, it wasn't sad there. He's got a little bamboo outside building church. The floor is dirt. The pulpit's got a little piece of concrete in it. But they really worship the Lord. Brother John usually interprets if I go there, which I haven't been able to go for a while, so you know, for my health. But I certainly appreciate him being with us tonight. Brother John, God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you. I bring you greetings from Togo. I thank the Lord for granting me the privilege to be with you tonight and to fellowship with you around the living word. God bless you. Amen.
I'm just going to preach a little bit. I had my sermon geared for 45 minutes, and He was supposed to tuck up 15, so I'm going to have to go extra 15 minutes somewhere. Anyhow, thus blessed is the preacher that can testify, I think. Now, I was born before computers, so I've never got caught up with the computer generation, so I'm a little envious of Brother Nathan when he gets up here and he clicks this thing here and makes the quotes come up. I'm glad he can do that. I wish I could do that, you know, but I would never be able to do that. That'd take me too long just to learn how to operate the thing. I don't have enough time. But I was reading the message before with the computer. The message was on computer, and so I still have to resort to a little notebook with a few notes on it. But I assure you that this notebook is not full. I've only got about 2 pages here, and they're big letters, so I try not to preach all night. Usually when I preach on a subject down home, I preach, I have a couple of pages, and I'll have part of it in yellow, part of it in pink, part of it in orange or green or something. And I preach, because it's a series, I just teach on the pink tonight or the green tonight or, you know, whatever color comes up. And that's the way I go, that way, to connect it together. And I was down in another state preaching at a convention some time ago, and a brother came to me after church. He said, "What color was you preaching tonight?" And I said, "Well, I was preaching all of them tonight." But anyhow, again, it's good to be here, and I appreciate all of you, and a good thing tonight that God has blessed us to be able to hear the messenger and the message for our day. Amen. Amen. I'm just thankful, amen, for what God has made known to me. And I think often where Brother Brown said when he first started off preaching, he said, "I thought if you wasn't a Baptist, you just wasn't in it." But he said, "I found out when I got a little older, the blanket stretched a little bit." I found out a lot of times around the message, there's a lot of brothers, got a lot of doctrine, that's good doctrine, but sometimes it becomes an argumentative thing, and they get a pet doctrine they want to beat all the time. You know, some think this and some think that, and go this way and that way. But by this shall all men know that you passed from death unto life if you love the brethren. Amen. And that's the one thing about it. Now, remember, there was a brother in Ohio, I mentioned him often, Brother Letford. He's gone on to meet the Lord now. And he and I would go to his church and preach. He would get up behind me, and he said, "Well, you sure can't say anything about Brother Bryant's sermon, because all he gave me was quotes and scriptures." And we would be at the restaurant having a cup of coffee, and he might say something. I said, "Brother Letford, I don't see that way." But he never was anything but a Christian spirit and attitude, and I took note of that. And I thought, "Lord, help me to be like that." Amen. Amen. To be able, if somebody disagrees with you, like Brother Brown says, bitterly, be able to love that person. Amen. Absolutely. So again, Brother John, I'm glad to have him with us tonight. He was telling me earlier, I've never really got to talk with him that much the times I've been there, because it was busy and so forth. But anyhow, he's got 6 kids, and one of them, he told me recently, not long ago, passed away. And again, his wife was with him, and I apologize for that, Brother John. Amen. He's a fine brother, and they're doing a great work there in Togo. The only way I can describe Togo to you, and being honest with him, the first time I went to Togo, I stood there and wept. And I said to myself, there is no human beings, sinner or saint, deserve to live in conditions like this. No matter. No human being should have to live in those conditions. Yet part of the bride of Jesus Christ is there. Amen. And men like this, you know, that has their lives, amen, and go out and preach the gospel, works the job too, amen. It's just amazing to me, amen, that they can serve God there. If they can serve God here, we should be going wide open here. Amen. I can see where Brother Brandon said in America we're almost living in the millennium. Amen. You see, if these nations were governed by God, we would be in the millennium. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to start off in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I won't keep you all night, I promise you. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you just want to stand just a minute for one reading here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I've often said, I've even mentioned it here testifying, a lot of times people pick up the Bible and they read. Today, I don't know where I'm going to read at. I'm going to read Genesis maybe. Maybe I'm going to read St. John. I'm going to read Revelations, wherever, you know, Lord, help me to read where I should. Help me to study something that would benefit me. I've read chapters and chapters at a time, and read 8 or 10 chapters and not remember nothing I read. Right. Who has ever done that? Amen. Yep. And because my mind was pondering or wandering somewhere else, and I just read it again. And I go through the same thing. I've turned on tapes, going to sleep at night, and hear Barbara say, "Good evening, friends," and that'd be about all I'd hear. And that would be gone, you know. But you just keep going, and it'll keep coming, all right? Here in Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and haste to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again, according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. The Lord bless you. Can be seated. I'd like to just talk tonight on history or prophecy. History or prophecy. I know that you're not illiterate people here. I just went to the 12th grade, so my education is not that high. But I looked up the definition of history just out of being inquisitive. And Webster said it's the discovery, the collection, or presentation of information about past events. Or it's time after writing was invented. Anything before that, of course, we know is prehistoric. Amen. Prophecy is to foretell future events. But when we're reading the Bible, sometimes we don't know if we're reading history or prophecy. And I want to show you by the scriptures that's been that way, and it's always been that way. People are prone to do that. Amen. So let's turn over to St. John chapter 7. I want to keep everything as simple as I can. Brother Ben said God in simplicity. I used to have a brother come over from Jersey in the Channel Islands, a good brother, and he would be there alone most of the year, so he would be full of word, not being able to preach many places from there, little small island. And he'd come over wide open, and I'd have to set him down and say, now, what are you saying? And he would kind of get perturbed at me. I said, look, I'm not picking at your sermon. I've got country folks I preach to, and I got to break it down in country folks' lingo if they understand it. So he finally understood what I was saying here. In St. John 7, verse 37 to 43, everybody there say amen. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. That's Moses, Deuteronomy 18, 15. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now here is a sincere people. They love the Lord. Amen. They're reading the scriptures and they know the scripture says he's to come out of Bethlehem. But the only thing they didn't know that prophecy was already history. And it had been history for 30 years now. And when they said, no prophet arises out of Galilee, he didn't come out of Galilee, come out of Bethlehem. So they missed it, and they was looking for something that they thought was prophecy that was already history. Right. Amen. So remember, history is a discovery, a collection, a presentation of information of past events. So let's look one more place, if you would, in Matthew 17. Matthew 17, I won't read you to death, I promise. Matthew 17, verse 8. Of course, this is Peter, James, and John, Jesus' disciples you were talking with. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then, say the scribes, that Elias must come first, or must first come? Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. That was a prophecy. It's history now. We'll get to that later. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already. Then they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now here's his own disciples, and they were looking at a prophecy. They knew Elijah was supposed to come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, but even the disciples themselves didn't know that that prophecy was already history, that John had fulfilled that. So you can see sometimes you hear Brother Branham saying and recognizing your day in 64, he said sometimes people are praying for things and looking right at it in front of them, and they don't recognize what they're looking at. In birth pains in 65 in Phoenix, he was preaching, and a Catholic priest was sitting on the front row. He thought the Catholic priest was disagreeing with him, but he wasn't. And he said at the end of that, you know, of course, the discernment went out through there, and he's preaching on the Son of Man and so forth. And he said that Catholic priest came up to me and says, don't those Pentecostals see that? And he said, I told him, hold your peace. And he said, glory to God, I see it. And he said the Spirit fell then, you know, on somebody else and so forth. Amen. Then Brother Branham comes back preaching this day the Scripture is fulfilled because the pagans had stuck from that sermon. But when you go back and look here, amen, the Catholic priest had saw the manifestation of the Son of Man, amen, and he realized that was the fulfilling of the prophecy. Amen. And that's why he got excited about it. Here's the disciples themselves walking with Jesus. And if you go to Israel today, amen, you'll find that Jews there still look for Elijah to come. Even when they was crucifying Jesus, amen, and he cried on the cross, they said, leave him alone and let's see if Elijah will come. They didn't know, but their Elijah had already come. Amen. Now, we go through the Scriptures, and I'm sure probably tonight none of us would know what we were talking about tonight if we hadn't heard a prophet in our day, as the brothers were singing about the Elijah there a while ago. Amen. But as we go back here, we find out, amen, in Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, he said, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. Then we go into the Bible and read St. Luke, Gospel, chapter 1, and Zacharias was praying there, amen, and God came to him, Gabriel, and spoke to him and said, you're going to have a son, call him John, because he'll go forth in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the children, the hearts of the fathers to the children. But he never did say turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, remember? Right. So now we understand when we go back, Jesus spoke in Matthew 11 to the multitude there, and he said, now go tell John you see this and that and so forth. And after he left, he said, why'd you go out to see a prophet? And then he comes on down and says, now, if you can receive it, this was Elijah, which was for to come. But the people couldn't receive it, and they didn't receive it. But it was prophecy being fulfilled, amen, and becoming history at that time, and they didn't recognize it. Amen. Then in Matthew 17, the disciples are wondering, what about Elijah? And he said, Elijah's already come, and you didn't know it. Then the disciples understood that he spake to them of John the Baptist. Now, it took me quite a while listening to Brother Branham talk, amen, how he used the little things he drops in, like, you know, my wife one day, she was looking through the Bible, Lord, let me find something that will let me know that me and William Branham is going to get married. And she looked down, she had her finger on Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And then he talked about the Aunt Jemima down in Memphis, and she said, Lord, where is your Elijah? And she had the dream, you know, and started come her Elijah. Then he went out there, and he caused the wind and the storm to go away. Amen. He interrupted nature. Then he went up and challenged the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Greater Minister Chicago Association. Amen. And they all, most of them got up and left before he got done. Amen. So there's so many things here that confirms and identifies, amen, that Matthew 17 and 11 has been fulfilled in our day. And a lot of people that still hardly know anything about the spirit of Elijah, amen, and those that are, many of them out here, especially the Jews, are looking for Elijah, amen, and we found out that our Elijah has come, and just like it was 2,000 years ago, religious order looked over the top of it and didn't see him manifested before them this hour. Amen. That was the prophecy that was prophesied in this day, and that's why some of us have those little bumper tags that says Matthew 17 and 11. Amen. Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. Is that all right? Let's read one more place, if you would, in Acts chapter 8. I'm not a real machine gun preacher. My brother is. Nathan's kind of that way, but that's all right. A few years back, I had a couple visit my church down home. I saw him over at McDonald's after church. And I said to him, I said, "How'd y'all like the service?" And the woman said, "Well," I said, "you preach kind of slow." I said, "I can go faster and you can keep up." But I said, "I want people to understand me when I get done, or it won't do you any good. It won't prosper you." Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Sorry. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord said unto Philip," spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, excuse me, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Now this man was looking at a prophecy that Isaiah gave 800 years before. But he didn't know that this prophecy was already history. Do you understand what I'm trying to talk about tonight? Amen. Because if you read in the Bible and you place it the wrong way, Brother Branham said there's three musts you must not do. You must not misplace the word. It's one of them. You must not misinterpret the word. Amen. So therefore, we want to look at it. If you get it that way, he said you have the cow picking grass on the top of the tree or the man fishing out in the desert. So if we're looking for something that's prophesied in the Bible, amen, and it's already taken place, then we'll miss the boat. Amen. But if we go back here, we just took the day of Pentecost, for example, and the people came together there and said, "These men are drunk with new wine," as she supposed, you know, thinking it was, you know. But Peter got up and said, "They're not drunk, but this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Remember? Amen. And Peter said, "This is that." In other words, this is that prophecy being fulfilled here before your eyes. All right. So, you know, we can thank God we believe in a Pentecostal experience, because the apostle said it's to you, to your children, to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, I'm kind of notorious for reading out of these books. I hope you don't mind. My books are kind of raggedy. Amen. Like I said, I don't have these tablets. I don't know how to operate them. I wish I did. I really wish I did. Amen. I'm kind of envious of that part. So don't come and try to tell me, you know, because I never do it. I'll never be able to get it. But these I can do because I like to read. Amen. And you pray for me because my eyesight is not as good as it used to be. But I'm still, you know, I still like to read. And some of these I read, and of course you do over and over. This is in the Conduct, Order, and Doctrine book here. It's probably about page 1103 to 1105 where it's at in your book. But Brother Bannon was asked the question here, you know, "Is this you identified here?" And I may pronounce the book wrong, Habakkuk, however you pronounce it there, chapter 2. And Brother Bannon reads the scripture and comes down and he said, "Well, I'd imagine this dear person that asked this, well, you see, it's somebody that loves me, or they wouldn't write that. I could not say that by the Bible does not call my name William Branham or call your name, whoever it is, but we are in him anyhow. And now you see familiar places that refer to in the Bible that says certain things, you see. Now, if you watch, history repeats itself in the Bible." History repeats itself in the Bible. Now, let's just give you a scripture, the one now. If I see many of you writing it down, in the third chapter of St. Matthew said, "And when God called his son out of Egypt, that it might be fulfilled, that was spoken, out of Egypt have I called my son," which we know referred to Jacob, amen, but also referred again to the Lord Jesus. Is that right? Amen. So Brother Ben said, "Now, how many remembers my message, identifying yourself with Christian characters, Phoenix, Arizona, where I preached it?" You can identify yourself anywhere you want to in the scripture if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you can identify yourself in the Bible too. Right. Amen. Now, somebody told me not long ago, said, "Well, the Bible was just written by man." But man wouldn't write a Bible about his family and friends and talk about incest and all the different things and murder and stuff like that. They'd skip that part. Amen. So it was not, men was the instrumentality, but we know the Holy Ghost was moving on those men as they did. Amen. I'm going here to a message titled, What is the Attraction on the Mountain? 1965. This is page 23. Everybody listen and say amen.
Amen.
He said, Junior Jackson, listen in. You remember the dream he had? I interpreted going towards the setting of the sun. This happened on Sunset Mountain. It's the evening time, sunset time, the sunset message through a setting of history, a setting of prophecy, rather, being fulfilled. And it shall be light in the evening time upon Sunset Mountain in the Coronado Forest, 40 miles north of Tucson. Get on the map. If Sunset Peak there, that's exactly where it happened. Everything, it shall never die. It's constantly unfolding itself, unrolling itself, from the very thing happening to the picture being Jesus standing looking at us. Now, exactly on Sunset Mountain, the sunset light, the evening light has come. God vindicated. What is it? It's the fact that God and Christ are one. The white. How many seen it in the white wig upon him? Yes, we talked in Revelation 1. See, the supreme deity, supreme authority, no other voice, no other God, no other nothing. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. The angels themselves was his wig. All right. Now, what's happened upon Mount Sunset? God confirming his word. That's what all this noise is about. Notice, it's God fulfilling his promised word again of Revelation 10, 1-7. And in the days of the sending of the seventh angel's message, the mystery of God shall be finished. The hidden mystery of Revelation 10, 1-7, the last message to the last church age, fulfills exactly in this age, Luke 17, 30. The day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. When I first started reading the message, people would tell me, that's Luke 17, 30. That's Luke 17, 30. And finally I thought, what's Luke 17, 30 say? I believe I'll go read it. And I did. And I scratched my head and I thought, well, I still don't know what it means. Then I heard Brother Bannon saying, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. And I started, uh-oh, something different here. Amen. Page 24. And the God of heaven promised the evening time would have evening light. 3 years ago, this mystery was a prophecy. Are you listening? What time is it, sir? That was a prophecy. I'm going to go west. I'll be 40 miles north of Tucson. I'll meet in the form of a pyramid, seven angels. That was a prophecy. Right. Now, Brother Ben's coming back here, and he said, now, 3 years ago, that was a prophecy. What time is it, sir? But now, it's history. Right. It's past. The promise is fulfilled. What time is it, sir? And what's this attraction? God fulfilling his word. Amen. I beg your pardon. I'm used to the neck mic, so I have to go back a little bit. Beg pardon. Page 7. All right. What is the attraction? They looked around this way. They looked that way to find out. Looked like they were looking for something under expectation of something going to happen. Oh, how I like to change my text for a few minutes and say this. That's what's the matter today. The people who are looking for him coming is under great anticipation and expectation. We can feel it, the pressure. And they're seeking, watching every move and every sign, comparing it with the scriptures. And when they've seen all those things that was predicted of him, right up to the end, they know the end was nigh. They wanted to be there, so they watched. Part of the crowd was for him in the minority. Some was against him. Most of them, 90%, was against him. Amen. It's just about the same time. Things don't change much, very much. History just repeats itself. History just repeats itself. Page 8. On the top of Mount of Olives. Now, he said, God, then what was he doing? What is that attraction up there on the hill? It's God making history, fulfilling prophecy. And that's what causes the attraction. It brings all the critics up in vultures and so forth. Dropping down the page, he said, why couldn't they see that that's prophecy being fulfilled? The same reason that they can't see it today. They took the word of God and made it of none effect to the people by their tradition. And it's scribes, preachers, ministers, spiritual men, so-called anointed ones, would only read the Bible. They wouldn't be wondering what's taking place. They would know what it is. God fulfilling his word. Amen. Just a couple more here, page 12. Amen. What is this attraction? It's got 400 priests standing on the hill. The king up there, talking about there is no Elijah. Amen. And this old woolly, fuzzy, fuzzy-faced looking man, bald head and all that, he said, taking the place of God, so with such things as halos, he said, drop down the page again, and shadows and all they talk about, and hear that old fanatic standing up there on the hill, bringing all these people up there. What was that attraction? It was God fixing to vindicate his prophet to be right. It was God fulfilling prophecy, God also making history. Amen. And about the prophet, and now listen, he's going over here, John and Jesus now. And he says, now John was out there and said, have you not read in the scriptures what Daniel the prophet said, the day of his sacrifice be taken away? And he was preaching something different. And he said, about that time the prophet turned and said, behold, there comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, what's the attraction? It's changed from the prophet to his prophecy. It's changed from the prophet to his prophecy. Amen. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. I'll just slow down a little bit. If we went back in the Bible and we hear God speak to Abraham and say, Abraham, your descendants is going to be in another country 400 years. And after 400 years, I'm going to bring them out. And we could go look at that. We know that was a prophecy that God gave Abraham 400 years before Moses. Is that right? But when Moses came along, he fulfilled the prophecy that God gave Abraham. Then we could go on down a little further and we could hear Jeremiah saying in Jeremiah 25, you're all going to be in another land for 70 years. And after 70 years, God will bring you out. And then we could go over to Daniel 9 and see Daniel start reading the book of Jeremiah and said, I understood it was almost time. And he started praying. Amen. And what happened? God fulfilled that prophecy. After 70 years, they came back. Amen. So what happened each time the prophecy was given, amen, and then the people missed it a lot of times when it happened. And they believed Moses, they told Jesus, but when Moses' word, the prophecy that Moses gave, was manifest before them, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me, when that was manifested and the prophecy was fulfilled, that's when they missed it. And they kept on looking for the Messiah. And so do they still today. Amen. So as I said, Joel 2:28 and Acts again the same thing. And the prophecy was when Jesus came in, the Messiah, Zechariah said when he comes to Jerusalem, he'll be riding on a donkey. Now the Bible don't say a white donkey, but the prophet said that, and I'll take that's good enough for me.
Amen.
Amen. So when Jesus came riding in, Zechariah's prophecy was fulfilled. Amen. And when that happened, they said, behold, your king cometh riding on a donkey, remember? Amen. And so Matthew, give us the story there. Matthew 21, we call it Palm Sunday. But that prophecy became history. Amen. Then we hear over in Revelation 19, the scripture says when he comes in this hour, they'll be riding on a white horse. Amen. That's a prophecy. Amen. That John, God spoke through him almost 2,000 years ago. And Brother Ben tells us an influence back there. He said the book of Revelation is still prophesying. So prophecy is being fulfilled today. Amen. And if we don't pray, amen, and listen to God, we'll look at it and it'll go right past us and it'll be history and we'll be looking for something that's already taken place.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we have to call on God for. Brother Ben said we should call on God for revelation more than anything else.
Yeah.
So I want to know when I'm reading, if I'm reading something like the eunuch that's already taken place, or if I missed it like the disciples did, God helping me and open my eyes that I might be like the immense disciples and know who's walking with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm. Malachi 4 was the prophecy. Amen. I've skipped a couple, but let's go down here. Well, no, I better not. I better not skip this one. This is in Christ, this is the mystery of God revealed on page 33. Brother Ben says, now the coming of the Lord, this is an old book that's not paragraph if you're looking for the paragraphs. I've had people say sometimes, well, you give that quote and I look for it in the book and it wasn't there. Quite a few years ago, I sent a brother a tape and he called me and said, you know, said you give a quote and said it wasn't in that message. Said I read it and it wasn't in there. I said, I apologize, brother. I said, I listened to that message too. And I realized that I quoted the wrong book. Forgive me. And I told him which one it was in. But I had some friends back before computers came out, like I said, and they was visiting a certain place. And the pastor got up and quoted something Brother Branham was said. Well, this other brother was very well read in the message, so he was determined to show him that he gave the wrong thing. So he stayed up all night reading books and searching all night long. And the brother came over next morning to take him to breakfast, and he said, I've looked all night. He said, Brother Branham didn't say that. He said, I know he never said. I just said it myself. I stayed up all night trying to prove him wrong. Well, if you're studying the scripture, I've had people to call me, ask me. As a matter of fact, an old friend of mine, an old sinner friend of mine, called me a few years ago. And he said, this woman and I are dating. He was divorced. She was a widow. And he said, we're talking real serious about getting married. And he said, I want to ask you a question. So we got a little difference here. He said, she thinks homosexual is okay, and I don't. And he said, I'd like for you to give me some scriptures for that. He ain't never called me before, asked me nothing about the Bible. And I said, well, if you're going to use them to argue with, I don't think I want to give them to you. Well, he promised me he wouldn't argue. I said, okay. And I gave them to him. And I said, by the way, I said, I have a Catholic catechism book here. Let me see what it says in there. So I gave that with Catholics. I gave that to him. The marriage was off somehow. I don't know, but they didn't get married. I didn't admonish them to get married in that rate. But I've had brothers in the message ask me for quotes to prove somebody else wrong. If I studied the message with the motive just to prove somebody wrong, or the Bible is the one, I'm studying with the wrong motive. Anybody is. Hello? If I study with the same scriptures with the motive to try to help somebody sincerely from my heart, it's altogether different. Amen. So the motive makes a whole lot of difference, all right? So here in this sermon, Christ is the mystery. He said, now the coming Lord is a mystery. We don't know when he's coming, how he's coming, but we know he's coming, see? And so was all the mysteries of God waiting for the last day. After it's already been completed, then he reveals. He shows what he's done. Oh my, never gave his mystery in full. The reason that was such a tremendous thing that he spoke of it here and showed those seven thunders, and Look in Life magazine there, packed that. Circle of cloud and light. There, they could not understand and don't know it yet, but they're telling. Go there and wait for these mysteries to be revealed. And here, months before it happened, and then it happened. Now, Brother Bannon was told, amen, to go and meet the angels north of Tucson. That was a prophecy. Amen. Six dreams and then a vision. Amen. All a dream interpreted is prophecy. A prophecy is foretelling. Amen. And then he goes out there and he says, the angels come. Amen. They spoke to him. What was it? Prophecy being fulfilled. Prophecy come in history. Then the Lord told him, go back to Jeffersonville, because he promised the people if you brought anything new, you'd bring it from there. And go back there. I'll help you keep your word. Amen. And go back there. And the seven mysteries or seven seals that's going to be revealed to you. And here he came back, and now we know that the seven seals are mysteries that God has spoke through his messenger, amen, to help the bride to have rapture in faith, amen. So let's ask God to help us in those things, because it'll pass by us if we're not, you know, right on our toes praying, amen. So when God fulfills prophecy, how many today out here in religion, amen, will look, they call it as a cult, you know, and all those things, but that's all right. I think Webster said a cult was a group of people with odd ideas. Well, I'd put that over on the Pope of Rome. Or I can put it on Mr. Trump or Mr. Pelosi or all the rest of them. Amen. Or I can put it on Jesus and the 12 disciples. Amen. Or the message believers of the hour. Don't make no difference what they call a cult. Amen. What the world calls small, God calls great. Just the opposite, see. So looking at history and looking at prophecy, Jesus said in Luke 17:30, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the revealing of the Son of Man. So when we're reading the Bible, amen, we need to ask God, are we reading history here? Are we reading prophecy? Amen. Is this something that's already taken place? Or is this something that we must look for to take place? So we come back and look, and Brother Branham brings these things in, as you know. It was prophesied in Revelation 3:14 that the angel of Laodicea in church, in this hour, he would write something to him and the things that he wrote to him there. And I'm not looking for Revelation 3:14. Amen, as prophecy. I'm looking at it as history now. Are you following me? Amen. Then we also know that Brother Ben tells us in John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now Brother Ben shows us you can't do nothing no greater than Jesus. He said, but just more of it. And then he explained that to us, how that happened. So he said, you have to be identified with John 14:12 in this day. So John 14:12, God used a prophet, and Brother Ben said he had more success in my ministry. Now, you notice how I said it, he said he had more success in my ministry than he did in his own, by his own word. Amen, because the number of the times that the dead was raised up and so forth. Jesus preached in Israel, amen, and mostly around Galilee, and then the prophet went seven times around the world. That don't make him greater than Jesus at all. It just makes the prophecy for this day being fulfilled. Amen. So when these scriptures begin to take place, Brother Ben said, we also know that Jesus said in Matthew 24, they asked him three questions. What's the sign of thy coming? When shall it be one stone will be laid on another? And what will be the sign of the end of the world? He began to tell them, pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And we get Seventh-day Adventists to come along and say today, amen, they read Matthew 24, and they believe, amen, that Matthew 24 says that in the day of his coming, that people would have to still be keeping the Sabbath day. Well, I'm sorry to tell them, but they're waiting on something that became history 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Hello. Man. Hallelujah. God is wonderful. Looking for the wrong thing, looking the wrong way. Amen. All these prophecies about Israel, Jesus said, when summer is nigh, you know the fig tree puts forth its bud, you know that summer is nigh. We know the fig tree speaks of Israel. We see Israel back in the homeland. They asked Brother Branham, was this prophecy being fulfilled? And he said, yes. So we can see that those prophecies fulfilled. Amen. And blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Amen. Now, first off, these people here in John 7 missed it by 30 years. The disciples got that close. Amen. And missed it. Amen. So I don't want to miss it. Amen. We know we can't get warm by a painted fire. We're not living in the days of John the Baptist. We're not living in the days of Noah. We're not living in the days of Moses. This is the day for the bride. Amen. To come to her fullness and her stature of a perfect man, because God sent the word to give it to us. We also know in Matthew 25, Jesus gave a parable. And it was also a prophecy of 10 wise virgins, five wise and five foolish. And Brother Ben tells us, spoken word written in the seed. He said, we have that fulfilled in here with us today. Amen. That scripture is being fulfilled. He said, Mr. David DuPlessis thought the denominations was getting the Holy Ghost, but he said he ought to realize that's just a steering of the foolish virgins. They didn't get it. Amen. So here's a prophet telling us, you know, here's Matthew 25 being fulfilled, and they're looking for it to be fulfilled. Now, something that really gets me steered up sometimes is hear Brother Brandon say something, and then I run over here and say something else over here. Amen. And I don't want to get off the wrong way either. And I pray all the time, Lord, help me keep a balance in the Word, because that's really important to keep a balance in the Word. But in 1962, in taking side with Jesus, Brother Brandon made this statement. He said, if I'm a prophet, I'm not in the office of a prophet. But we know he was born a prophet. He wasn't in the office of a prophet when he was trying to shoot boys, though, with a rifle. Hello? So he said, if I'm a prophet, I'm not in the office of a prophet. He never did say he was an evangelist. He said, God told me to do the work of an evangelist. All right? Then in the message, spoken word, written on seed in 62, he said, I was out there in the woods praying, and the Spirit of the Lord told me to pick up my pen and write. And he said, when I finished and laid it down, there was my answer. And he said, Malachi 4 has not yet arrived. I thought, man, Malachi 4 is not yet arrived. And then I kept on reading. And he got to the fifth seal. And he started preaching the fifth seal. And he starts talking about Malachi 4. And he said, I can't say no more about it. It's just arrived. Then in the sixth seal and the seventh seal, he said, the spirit of Elijah is the spirit of Christ with the word for that day. When those seven seals opened up, folks, that's what the devil wants to cut off from us, like he did Samson's seven little curly locks. He liked to cut those seven seals off, but those seven seals is what the mystery gives to us. Amen. It's the fulfilling of prophecy. Amen. Becoming history. Amen. So what are we looking for today? I'm not saying we got to go back to the scriptures here and find out what the prophecies are for us. Amen. That we're looking for. Amen. And make sure we're not looking the wrong way. All right. Can I have 5 more minutes? I don't know what time it is. I haven't heard Brother Nathan clear his voice yet. Brother Clayton told me, I told him, I said, I don't know when to quit. I ain't got no watch, you know. But if I go back in the book of Nahum, and I heard a prophet saying, you know, said Nahum saw Outer Drive in Chicago. God picked him up in the spirit. He didn't know to call them Fords and Chevrolets. He said, I see the chariots jostling to and fro in the broadways. I see them run like lightning. They're bumping into each other. Remember? And he looked way down through time, centuries. Amen. He must have saw, I think Carl Benz, if I remember correctly, the first one to come up with the automobile was a German man. Amen. Later became Mercedes Benz. Then Henry Ford came along about 10 years later. But they come up with the automobile. Now, you know, they're getting down to the line. Here we find out that Brother Bennett said here in the end time, just before the rapture took place, there will be cars with no drivers. Now it's moving closer and closer to it all the time. So let's not go along here and forget these things that the prophet said would happen in our day that we ought to be watching for. Amen. He said, people that are spiritual, watch for the things that their prophet said to take place. So that's what we're watching for. We also know the two of the last things he saw in the vision of 33 there, amen, was a cruel woman rise up to power in America. He said perhaps a woman president or the Catholic Church or both. Amen. It's sure, you know, well, I'm not going to get into politics at all. Amen. But we sure are getting a lot of Catholics appointed this and appointed that here and yonder and everywhere. Amen. So I think we ought to know that it's about time run out for the bride. Amen. So we ain't going to stay around here forever. Amen. But if we go back again, and Nahum saw out of drive in Chicago, and I'm going to read just a couple more things here and I'll close. I promise you. This is the message titled, Lifting Him Up Out of History. We're standing tonight up on the brim and watching some come to pass and unfold two great scenes. Those two great scenes are these. One of them is the ending of history, and the other one is the ending of time. And many great men down through the ages has longed to see this hour that we're now approaching. As we live in this glorious setting of mortal sun, mortal living in one of the grandest ages that ever man has been permitted to live, because it's the closing out of time and the blending in of eternity. History only tells us what we have read, what has been, and what's in the future lays in the hand of God. And we find out today there's too much history being written, all right? I beg your pardon. He said, but there's not too much history being written because I don't think it's ever going to be used. In other words, Brother Brown said, they ain't going to be around to read it because time's winding up, all right? Page 10, this matches. He said, if we believe the Bible to be a history, it's also a prophetic book that tells the same God shall rise in the days, last days, and time for him to come on the scene. Amram knew that Moses had prophesied, Abraham had been given a promise by this God of history who hadn't answered a prayer in 400 years, as far as we have record, but he made a promise that he would bring them out. And Amram, now while he was in deep concentrated prayer, praying with all of his heart, he looked, standing in the corner, he rubbed his eyes and looked again. There stood an angel with a sword drawn, and he said, deliverance is coming, and you're going to bring a son into the world, and he's going to be the one to deliver them. God always answers prayer. Amen. Page 13. Let's not look at him. What good does a historical God do as if he's only historical God? What good would a historical God done Amram and Jochebed? What good would a historical God done to Moses? What good would a historical God done Lazarus? What good would a historical God done God to blind Bartimaeus at the gate? And what good would a historical God do to you tonight if he isn't the same today? Amen. So God hasn't changed. Amen. It's us, people. The world has changed. Amen. But God remains the same. Amen. Now, we know that Brother Branham saw prophecy, and he said in that vision of the bride, that prophecy, a vision interpreted as a prophecy, amen, he said the bride came passing by twice. Is that right? And he said when the bride comes back lining herself up with the word, look out then. So here we are. This message is the last one I'm going to read from, recognizing your day in this message. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. This is page 39. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page. Going over to 40. He said, what's left, next thing, taken up with the bride? Of course, every church is looking for a great thing. The Pentecost say, glory to God, there'll come a day, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. They're professors. They do believe. Like one time Kephas said, isn't it right that one man should die and the whole nation perish? He was high priest. The Bible said the reason he said that, he prophesied not knowing what he was saying. But did he realize the real truth of it, that he was sacrificing the very God that he claimed to be the high priest of? So is it today. They're looking yonder somewhere for a great time to come. Why, I go into businessmen's conventions and them, they say, glory to God. Then preachers get up and just steer the crowd saying there's coming a great revival. The hand of the Lord is going to be up on the earth and how the people are going forth running and don't realize that's under trumpets for Israel. Why do they do it? Because they are Christian professors and don't realize, neither did Cephas realize, that what he was doing, and they don't realize that they're rejecting the very message that's sent to them. Now, this is the book that Brother Ben said. Now, that brother's always saying, fast and pray, fast and pray. God sent us a prophet. He said, I suppose if God sent him on, he wouldn't recognize it. Amen. Brother, sister, we are blessed tonight to know, amen, Malachi 4 has come. Amen. Luke 17:30 is history. Amen. What are we looking for? I'm looking for the change of this body. Because this one's been giving me enough trouble lately. I preached on Theophany so long one time. I was coming up Interstate 65 one night, about 10 o'clock, and I saw this great light hanging there in the sky. And I thought, man, ain't no street light that high. It looks, it's just standing still. And I'm going closer, and I thought, maybe that's my Theophany coming. And after a while, I realized it was a southbound plane coming in the airport. A little fellow from India came down home once, and there was an Arab fellow there, lived there in town at the time, from Jordan. And he was, of course, deriding Israel. And he was telling, he said, well, he said, let America take their hand off of Israel. America quits helping them in 1 minute. He said, Israel won't last no time at all. And that little Indian fellow, that's the only thing he said the whole month he was with me that actually made any sense, bless his heart. He looked at that Jordanian fellow and he said, mister, I want to tell you something. He said, there are certain prophecies that's been prophesied in the Bible about that little country. And he said, it don't make no difference whether America helps them or not. Those prophecies are going to be fulfilled. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Brother, you can't change the word of God. I was reading Pilgrim's Progress, a little thought that came to my mind as I was reading it not long ago. I've been trying to read it for years. I don't know why I've read everything else, but I've read pretty much. But I wanted to read that one. And he's telling about, you know, the Pilgrim's Progress. He's making progress, and he's going along meeting different ones. And he meets a man named Talkative. And Talkative says to Faithful, Faithful was the man that was Christian walking in the journey. He says, if a man doeth the life to talk of the history or the mystery of things, where shall we find things so delightful as the Holy Scriptures? Amen. Where shall we find anything so delightful as the Holy Scriptures? People think, you know, in the world that we don't do nothing but read Brother Branham's books. There's 66 books in the Bible. Amen. I had a fortune of a few years back when I changed from Pentecost to the Message. There was a brother that Brother Jerry, Brother Nathan, all of us was associated with at the time. And he turned against the Message. We gave him tapes and stuff. He threw it out, didn't want it. And he was going around preaching a sermon. He titled it, People Living Off Dead Men's Bones. And I had one last chance to preach at his church one night. He was criticizing people listening to Brother Branham's tapes. I had one last opportunity to preach, and I thought, tonight, I'm going to put my punch in. I hadn't heard Brother Branham say that's wrong till later, but I knew it was wrong when I done it, Brother David. Amen. So they shouted for about an hour before I got the microphone. And I said, now, you know, Webster said a paradox is, you know, the Red Sea and all those things Brother Branham talked about. I went through those, and everybody's shouting. He's shouting. And I said, there was a time the Bible said the Israelites was fighting a battle, and one of their men got killed. They didn't have time to bury him properly. So just opened up a tomb with no prophet, threw him in on his bones. And before they could get gone, he didn't come back out of there alive. I said, I could just imagine everywhere that fellow went from then on, every chance he got to testify, he stood up and said, hey, folks, I am that man that they're talking about that's living off dead men's bones. And everybody was still shouting, but the preacher. I said, now I've been accused of reading a lot of books. I'm going to tell you about a few of them tonight. And I went through all 66 books of the Bible, a verse or so in each one, and I quit. I said, now, I've read about 500 others, but I don't have time to tell you about those tonight. He kept going the wrong way. I have a letter he wrote me. Amen. He said, if God revealed it to Branham, he revealed it to us. And I thought, well, I just felt sorry for him. Amen. He passed on not long ago, still holding to the, you know, the old tradition of Pentecost. Brother, I thank God for deliverance. Amen. You might come out of the Methodist church into Pentecost and thank you preaching to the bride, but you're a long way behind. Amen. Absolutely. So, you know, in looking at these things, all these prophecies have been fulfilled here in this age and hour and time. I'm glad that God give me an ear to hear by the grace of God. Amen. And thank God for that little part that we play. Each one of us is just as important. You're just as important as the ministry is. We've all got a work to do for the glory of God. Amen. And I remember a little story I read some time ago about these two men was in a hospital. And there was the one man was over near a window. And the other fellow was in a body cast over on the other side of the room. And they started getting acquainted. You know, had a lot in common, their families and so forth like that. And each day, the man near the window would rise up and look out the window and describe to the man over there that couldn't get up because of the body cast what all he's seeing out the window. I see children playing in the park. I see the birds flying in a little pool of water out there. And you describe it so vividly, you know, just make the man, you know, hunger to get outside. Next day, say, what do you see today? And, oh, I see a band going by, and I see a parade, and I see all these things going on, and just, you know, excited about it, just could be. And so finally, You know, it went on after a few days of that. The fellow near the window passed away, died. And after the man thought it had been ample time to, you know, to warn him, ask him, he finally asked the nurse or the caretaker, if you don't mind, could you move me over near the window? And so she moved him over near the window. And when everybody was gone, he pushed as hard as he could, he strained as much as he could, to rise up and look out the window. And when he looked out the window, it was just a block brick wall. It was always there. Nothing but a brick wall. He was so discouraged and so disheartened. And he asked the nurse, why did that man tell me all those things like that when all he was looking at was the wall? She said, sir, I don't suppose you know, but he was blind. And she said, I'm sure that he did it just to encourage you. Amen. Amen. Brother, let's be encouraged tonight. We're blessed. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Aren't you glad that we have something to encourage us?
Amen.
Amen. That God sent not only a prophet along to encourage us, but he sends other people into our life, family and friends and ministers and musicians and different ones that are an encouragement to us. We're blessed tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We're truly blessed. Brother Moore said he hoped you didn't wear out his welcome, but no, you had about 34 minutes before you wore out your welcome. You could have kept going a little longer. Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come tonight, let's just worship the Lord together. And I like what he brought out there. Reading from What is the Attraction on the Mountain, Brother Ram said, what is the attraction up there on the hill? It's God making history and God fulfilling prophecy.
Amen.
Amen. We're just blessed to have eyes to see and ears to hear it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God for his mercy and his grace to us. Amen. God does all things well, doesn't he? Sometimes we try to figure things out and put the pieces together and force the pieces of the puzzle together if we're not careful, but God does it all well if we just sit back and be still and look into the Word and have an honest heart before him. He constantly is unfolding the Word to sincere hearts. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight before we go. I was going to write the page number for you down, then I procrastinated on. I forgot. But let's just stand together tonight. Number 24 in your hymn book. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Oh, I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Oh, I'm trusting, confiding in his great love. Tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. Oh, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. My master looks on at the strife. Oh, I'm living by faith. Aren't you thankful that you are tonight in my Jesus above? I keep trusting, confiding in his great love. Well, it's Rama Harm's sake in his sheltering arms. I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. I like this part. Oh, I know that he safely will carry me through. No matter what evils betide, church, then why should I care? Though the tempest may blow, when my Jesus looks to my side, oh, I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Oh, we keep trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and I feel no alarm. Let's sing this last verse together. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. Oh, our Master so gently, He'll lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. So we're living by faith in my Jesus above. You know, Sunday afternoon, as I was sitting there reading the scriptures and doing a little bit of studying and things, the Lord impressed it on my heart that, you know, a lot of times for the communion service now, we have a prayer meeting before we have the communion service that Sunday evening. We'll come in and just have a short worship service and maybe 20 or 30 minutes have a prayer meeting and go into the communion and foot washing service. And the Lord impressed on my heart that when we do that from now on, I want to have something maybe that we can all just agree on. Of course, we can pray in that amount of time about many other things, but just something specific to maybe present to the church to agree on and pray together for. But tonight I felt impressed. It doesn't have to just be a prayer meeting, but I know, as you know, and we've prayed for him before, Brother Morris over the last few years has had a whole lot of troubles with his back and with nerves and things down through his back, causing pain in his legs and different things. And you'll notice when he's here for service Wednesday night, he'll sit for a while and stand for a while and walk around things. That's not because he's bored with the service. It's because his back is bothering him. And traveling back and forth every week, 2 hours both ways and things, I know it's difficult for him. And as he mentioned tonight, his eyes and different things. So since he was a blessing to us tonight and bringing the service, why don't we just bow our heads together tonight and just agree together for him. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as a group of believers here tonight, Lord, we know Satan has tried to attack our brother's body and hinder him with back problems and pains, and different doctors say different things and try different things with good intentions, Lord, but tonight we just want to bring him before the great physician. Lord, feeling your presence come near here tonight, Lord, I just ask, as we agree together, Father, Lord, you said in your word, if any two would agree as touching anything, Lord, that you'd hear and you'd answer prayer. Lord, we know that it's not about numbers or the size of the crowd, but there's many more than just two gathered here tonight, Lord, and we agree together for our brother. Lord, with all the sincerity that we know how, we pray the prayer of faith for our brother. Lord, may you move on the scene, just touch his body. Heal him, I pray, Lord. Lord, he spent so many hours studying the word, reading the scriptures, reading through message books. Lord, I was telling a brother the other day, I wish I read like he did. Lord, may you just touch his eyes and help him. Lord, no doubt Satan would try to rob that from him, the ability to be able to read and enjoy. But Lord, may you touch his eyes tonight and help him, Father, I pray. Lord, not only for him, but each one that's gathered here tonight, no doubt there's many different needs represented. Lord, maybe some of them with broken families or some of them with physical needs. Some of them on the verge just devastating things in their life, Lord. Maybe Satan's tried to lie to them, tried to rob them of their victory. Maybe some with financial needs. Maybe some with emotional scars from back in their past that they've dragged around and haven't been able to let go. But may the Holy Spirit move on the scene for each and every one of them, Father. Maybe some of them with addictions or temptations that Satan has tried to rob their victory with, Father. But Lord, may you move on the scene tonight. Lord, you're a deliverer. You're a healer. You're a restorer. You're a way maker, Lord. We look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, Father. We're depending on you tonight. Lord, be with each one as we go our separate ways. Protect us on the road as we go. Keep us safe. Be with Brother Morris. Bless him, Lord, for his efforts in coming and ministering, Lord. And just, Lord, the word that he brought to us, Lord, just pointing us back to the quotes in the scriptures. Lord, I don't see how anyone can say anything negative of that. Lord, we appreciate him and we love him. And Lord, I just ask you to restore his strength and help him and be with him. Bless his church services, Lord, in Sellersburg and out in Liberty, Lord. May you just move in a mighty way there as well. Be with your bride all over the world, Lord. Be with our brother that's with us tonight from Togo, Lord. May you just bless him, protect him and his family. Give him traveling mercies as he goes back home, Lord. Just bless his church there and his ministry. Lord, may you use him to bring many souls into the kingdom, Father, we pray. Bless him for his efforts, Lord, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. Brother John, back there from Togo, Brother Trevor, he's got a lot of mutual friends that we have. He knows Brother Jeffrey and Jacob Johnson. He knows the other brother, I think it was Brother Jeff that was here recently too. What was the brother's name? Well, he knows Brother Teo, but I think he knows the other brother from Ghana as well. Different ones that he knew that we knew as well. So, amen. A lot of visitors tonight from Brother Morris's in different places. So we're going to sing one more song before we go. But when we do go, greet somebody in the name of the Lord and make our visitors welcome. And if you are a visitor and nobody makes you feel welcome, go over and tell somebody you didn't do what he said. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. Same key, I think. Amen. Oh, we'll walk in the light. It's a beautiful light. Oh, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Oh, Lord, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus. He's the light of the world. Let's sing it again together. Oh, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Comes where the dew drops. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. Lord, just shine all around us by day. Oh, it's Jesus. He's the Lord. God bless you. Why don't we sing it together as we go? You can be dismissed. Oh, we'll walk in this light. It's such a beautiful light. Oh, Lord, it comes where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Lord, shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus. He's the light of the world. Oh, we'll walk in the beauty. Where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Oh, just shine all around us by day and by night. Oh, it's Jesus, the light of